IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
And a very good morning to you. You're welcome back to the 9 till noon show for this Wednesday. It is the 8th of May. Right, I haven't watched the Eurovision for years because of all the flashing lights. There's no consideration for people like me who are sensitive to this. I watched Johnny Logan there on YouTube. He was great. We should be so proud of him. I thought he looked great as well too. He's been at it a long time and he still looks brilliant. Greg, this Eurovision Song Contest is satanic, and for Ireland, they've lost their plot. I wouldn't watch it anyway, says a listener. Hi, Greg, you're right about the Eurovision. It's not a music show, it's a stage show. It was a disgrace, a man running about with a big bare backside, and for some of the rest of them, well, I just don't know. Yeah, indeed. Again, you know, you pays your money, you know, whatever that phrase is. Hi, Greg. Not long ago, you said you could count to six genders. Another one pushing what's not normal. I can't imagine me ever saying that, to be honest with you. A lot long ago, where did I say that? I don't recall saying anything along those lines, because I know I couldn't, actually. And I don't know the context of how I said it. But anyway, that's your view. If you think I'm pushing something, okay. A little sad to see our own Eileen Magner and Brian Dobson retire after so many years' service. Interesting to see a non-fee-paying school with strong Donegal connections produce so many fine presenters in Brian Dobson, Ellie McSweeney, Ear to the Ground, David McCullough, Chris Ashmore, etc. A legacy apparently of being the first school in Ireland to offer TY with media studies and work experience 50 years ago. Interesting information. I didn't know that. Diesel. In Lifford, 163, I'm told. Petrol, 167. The last petrol station that I saw in Letterkenny had petrol for 185. There are massive savings to be found close to the border. This is a difference of 15 cents. Well, even in towns, you can make a saving. If you shop around or travel around within Letterkenny, you can save not quite 15 cents, but certainly over 10, I think. I was out over the bank holiday weekend, and I couldn't believe the amount of cocaine that was being done. One of the men I was with said every cubicle in the toilet was in use, with an ungodly amount of sniffing going on. People need to wake up and realise this isn't a big town or city thing. It's a local. I was at my local, not a club. Yeah, listen, we've been talking about that for ages. Cocaine widely available. I haven't heard an account like that where someone said it was everywhere and everyone in the toilets was sniffing. I've not seen it myself, but I'm not really out that much in that sort of environment. Congratulations to the 10 staff members of Skullmora Milford who completed the relay of the Belfast Marathon at the weekend, all in aid of their new autism class. They've raised nearly 5,000. We're super proud of them all, and they should be well warmed up for relay now. Okay, so they're going to do relay for life as well, is it? Well done. That's a fantastic achievement there. Can you say a happy birthday to Kira McLaughlin from Glentoher, who's celebrating her 23rd birthday today? She's working a long day in LUH as a student nurse. From all her family, thank you. Of course, more than happy to. Farming for Nature charity promoting a healthy countryside and sustainable farming. They're hosting a farm walk on the farm of Boyd Bryce in Shiland, Lifford, on Sunday the 19th. That's a week Sunday, is it? It's from 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Tickets can be purchased on the charity's website, farmingfornature.ie. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention as we head towards a break. Okay, we're joined on the programme by Henry McKean. You'll hear him, of course, on News Talk and here on Highland Radio. Henry, a good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Oh, this is Malmo calling, or Malmo. Hello. Hello from Sweden. I'm good. I admit that there was some serious partying going on last night in the Malmo Arena that went on all night. I got to bed at a reasonable hour, about 3 in the morning. I'm good. And the big news, obviously, is Bambi Thug with Doomsday Blue has done it. Broken that spell and got us into the finals, the first time since 2018. So it's good news.
Yeah, indeed. And before we get on to that, I mean, a lot of the conversation so far this morning, Henry, and I won't draw you into it because you're there to celebrate and report on Eurovision, was that, you know, is this really representative of Ireland? Is this representative of the West? It's no longer a children's show or a family programme. And I think really we're at that point, aren't you? I mean, that last night was not some... I mean, every parent can make their own decisions, presumably, but it is no longer a music competition. It is no longer a family show where the local newspaper, or not the local newspaper, but the national newspaper is a centre spread where you can write your scores in as you go. I mean, it has turned into to something completely different, isn't it? And it is what it is. I don't think it's pretending to be family entertainment anymore.
Well, I mean, you know, the world has changed. I don't mean to say it's all Instagram's fault, but everything has changed. And yeah, last night there was a cod piece. There was gyrating. Ollie Alexander for the UK did an amazing act staging inside a kind of a dirty shower with boxers and lots of gyrating and not quite kissing. But the song Dizzy, if you break it down, is about love. You know, even if you take the Croatian song, that one isn't about love. Instead, it's about unemployment in Croatia. Really, really catchy tune. So, like, it's complicated. It's political as well. I know that a Swedish newspaper asked an Israel-style question to Bambi, and Bambi did actually admit that this old written language on their body, I should say, was originally a statement about Palestine, but they was asked to change it to crown the witch. But it's always been political. There's always been risque, almost nudity. Is it a family show? Well, it's on at 8 p.m. It's a bit of fun. And we, I suppose, kids grow up a little bit quicker these days.
Yeah, and I think it's really, you make that decision based on your own children. It came across visually last night amazing in terms of the staging, the lighting, some of the camera work, and particularly for the gentleman. I have to laugh. To be honest, it was quite funny. The gentleman, it was they tried to create the appearance that he was bottomless. And there was some quite funny shots in there. I mean, I would not like to be responsible for the production of this. Was it as spectacular in person? I mean, it's geared for TV, right? And the angles and all that kind of stuff. So you get a different view in the arena itself. But like, was it spectacular to be there present?
It was a joy to be there, to be inside the arena. I got a last minute ticket. Media don't get to go in. Normally, we basically 500 other international European media are in a media room nearby. So to actually go in with the fans, with the super fans all squashed in the front, and to see Finland's Windows 95 was brilliant. And that was the act with the denim egg that exploded, the cod piece, the little bit of nudity, but perhaps, you know, it was all left up to the imagination. And then there was fireworks. I mean, the amount of fireworks that were going off inside the stadium was something else. And smoke, I mean, and as you mentioned, they've got everything. They've got CGI. They've got the best of everything. And then the different countries have every country's different. For example, the UK spends an absolute fortune on their staging. Ireland this year, we've spent a bit too. So, yeah, and I mean, it was really, really quite impressive. But like that, I'm a fan, not a super fan. I admit, I did pop out during Iceland, and I met up with Jedward and had a chat. So, like, it's a bit like a sort of disco where you might do a bit of dancing, then you might go to the bar, then you might go back again, whereas the super fans are just glued to the front and they can't take their eyes off it. And you're right, it is very much a TV show. The views inside, you don't always get to see anything. We ended up getting upgraded tickets. We were up in the nosebleed seats and then we were brought down so we could see so much more. And like that, when you watch it on the TV, because they've got TV screens in there as well, very different to what you see. Because you get, like sport, the best view isn't being at the game, it's actually on TV.
Yeah, but there's sort of altered reality that we see also that you don't see. Croatia last night, I would imagine they're going to be close to favourites. I haven't checked the odds. Hopefully you weren't on a bar or toilet break for their performance, because I think they're going to do really well this year.
No. I did. I was there for Croatia, Rim Tim Taggy Dim, and obviously I've seen them all with their letters into rehearsals. They were unbelievable, and I know people at home listening can't see this, but if they're online, I'm just going to, like, pretending I'm ringing the bell of an old-fashioned train back and forth. That's the dance, you know, ring, you're just moving your arm back and forth. So colourful, you know, traditional Croatian, but modern at the same time. And the lead singer just had so much energy and charisma. Yeah, and you're right, the bookies have them as the favourites, the super fans, and also they are Marty Whelan's favourites. It was his 25th anniversary last night, commentating. Marty Whelan also said to me at the coffee shop, not to be mistaken for a bar, you know, it's his favourite too, absolutely.
Yeah. I also, one other thing I wanted to mention actually was the presenters. They were fantastic, I thought, and also often I think when you have people doing humour in a second language, it doesn't really land. But I actually had quite a few lols. I thought, there was some sensitivity
as
well.
True.
There was some sensitivity to, and I thought the introduction of Johnny Logan was heartfelt and beautiful as well. So besides whatever one else can dispute about or whether it should be there or not, the presentation was brilliant. It was funny and it was touching. When it needed to be as well, which for me was a breath of fresh air for the Eurovision. I don't know how that came across inside.
And you're right, those Swedish presenters in Sweden are big, big stars, quite well known. And the jokes were funny and they did land, because normally it gets lost in translation, like so much stuff. That's why we have the EU to work out these translation problems. But the jokes landed. And I think the Swedish humour is quite similar to the Irish. We are, at the end of the day, all Viking. We think we're Celtic, but we're actually Viking. And we have a similar sense of humour. The Swedes are very organised, but at the same time, they're quite relaxed. And you got that feeling last night. They put on this massive show and they did it without showing off. Last year in Liverpool, there was a lot of showing off, no offence to the UK, hosting it on behalf of Ukraine, whereas the Swedes, they just got on with it. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, they probably are going to overtake us. Maybe not this year, but they will overtake us at 7-7 when it comes to Eurovision, unless Bambi, something magic happens.
Yeah, but I think Bambi's half Swedish, so the joke being that it would be 8-8 at that point.
That was the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the joke was that they'd share it. There'd be eight each. Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Bambi Thug, what's the chances then? It's in the space, right? I think something lively and fun's going to win, but it certainly is a contender.
Well, this is it.
By the way, I'm talking of the song, not the artist, just to be absolutely clear.
Well, they, and I think it, like that, you didn't do any misgendering. And for the listeners, I understand if you do misgender someone, if you actually say her instead of they, that's okay. You just keep moving on. It's totally understandable. But the bookies had Ireland in fifth, and then it dropped to 10th. And again, the bookies aren't always right. I met Niamh Kavanagh last week in Ireland, in Cork. And she said, look, Henry, it's up to the gods, really. It's up to the gods. No one can predict it. It's very difficult to know who's going to win. And you're right, momentum is behind Croatia. And Ireland have a real chance. Like Jed was, believe it or not, back in 2011, were leading the scoreboard at one point. Not for long. I think they ended up being eighth. But yeah, anything is possible. Magic could happen. But it's so competitive. It's so political. Who knows what's going to happen between now and Saturday night. Like, we know there's lots of protests planned here. And this is a really interesting one. You're going to love this. They want Eurovision fans to come and protest about Israel being part of it. So it's a strange one. You kind of have your cake and eat it. You're boycotting, but you're not boycotting. So there's all these nuances over here and a different attitude to perhaps Ireland.
Yeah, and the Israeli act is in the semifinals on Thursday, and she's quite bold, unapologetic for being there and what have you. And I suppose that is her right. Okay, well, sure, look, we'll watch on. I'm not sure if I'll endure Thursday. I say that, but probably we shall see. But we'll see what happens Saturday night. Henry, listen, thanks so much for being generous with your time. It's appreciated.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Goodbye from Malmo.
Don't drink too much coffee in that coffee shop that you keep bumping into people in. All right. That is Henry McKean there, contributor to News Talk, but also you'll hear him here. Bring back the real Eurovision where you had Father Ted and Dougal singing My Lovely Horse. That comes out for beauty competitions, Eurovision competitions. Not beauty competitions, but you know what I mean, the kind of competitions. Hi, Greg. A fierce lack of material on the clothing for Eurovision. Remember when the lads in Buck Fizz whipped off the girls' long skirts to reveal shorter ones? Was a shock now. They're practically naked on stage. Indeed, but I remember as a young fella watching it, and there's always a bit on the show. Greg, I was happy to see Bambi get to the final last night, even though they seemed to scream the way through the song. RTE will be glad of some good news for change, as long as they don't win, of course. Yeah, indeed. That would be a nightmare. They've lost another presenter, actually. The girl that presents in the morning is on the breakfast show is leaving. Presumably she's been poached by the BBC or some American radio station. Actually, I'm being facetious, she hasn't. I thought the Eurovision was pure rubbish last night. Why don't they put on a professional singers like Daniel O'Donnell and Margot? Yeah, but you see, we've tried that, and unfortunately it doesn't work. It's not a song contest. It's simply just not a song contest. Right. Greg, I'm transgender. I don't understand what my transgenderism has to do with our Eurovision entry this year. Just leaves Ireland looking foolish. Well, the singer's not transgender, so I don't know what you mean by that. Right, okay. Anyway, I'm finding myself kind of being in the position of a defender of the Eurovision, which is, I just see it as a TV show. And as I say, it's not something I feel particularly strong about. Eamon on Facebook. Hey, Eamon, good to have you on board. I think Bambi is a good chance for Ireland to win Saturday night. It's good to see Ireland getting somewhere this year. Cultural background shouldn't matter from someone doing well or winning it for Ireland in the Eurovision Saturday night. Margaret says on Facebook as well, no way is Bambi going to win for Ireland. Too many great singers on this year. Okay, listen, great to get your views from all different quarters. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. And we have in studio with us Hannah, Hannah Nifadjin, a singer-songwriter and performer from Guido. Hannah, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you keeping?
Good, good, good.
Very good. Now, you are from Guido. You've been studying music performance in Queen's University in Belfast. Mm-hmm. Presumably, has it been part of your life since the earliest memories?
Since I was so young, I've always loved music. Like, the first time I properly remember, like, doing music and thinking about music was when I was five and I seen Annie on the TV, and instantly I was like, oh my God, I want to sing, I want to be like Annie, I just want to, like, that is just what I want to do for the rest of my life. And then I always really liked musical theatre and traditional Irish singing, but then once, like, lockdown happened, I kind of got into more rock and roll. I watched like the documentary that was on Netflix about Oasis, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh my God, they're so cool. And then I started learning guitar as well during COVID, and then started writing my own songs. So yeah, that's it, and I'm writing ever since.
Brilliant stuff. And obviously you have something in you to pick things up quickly, because you've been singing since the year dot and performing, but that's quite recent to be taking up the guitar and to be accompanying yourself and what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially, like, my brother plays guitar as well, so he kind of was there to help me with a bit of chords and stuff. But no, I kind of just learned all by myself, didn't went to no lessons, just online, just looked up how to play the chords and then
Fantastic.
Played them.
Right, now you, which is very exciting, are involved in a new show which is being put together for RTE1 to be broadcast in the autumn. Tell us about the programme.
So it is called And Gig More. It's about basically, me and a few others around Ireland are putting on this big gig in our local town. And so I'm having my gig in the Social in Guido on Friday. And basically just showing how hard it is to run a gig and, like, the downfalls and the, like, things of the gig, what makes a good gig, and yeah, just enjoy ourselves and have fun.
Right, okay, sounds good. So it's warts and all then, obviously, in terms of everything that has been brought together. What's it been like preparing for this, but also doing it with a crew following you?
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. I feel like I have to think of the right words before I say something.
You mean think of certain words not to say?
Yeah. But no, it was good. It's very good. I learned a lot doing this program, especially with, like, my own music. I feel especially with my mentor, Eve Bell. she has helped me a lot with like different types of songs and stuff like that. So yeah, and especially now we got a band as well. So that was really, so we have a band as well with us, and that's kind of helped as well. And even,
but also like, that's relatively new as well,
yeah,
isn't it? So you're having to play with other people and coordinate all of that as well. So, but that's what makes good TV, doesn't it? Fish out of water. I know you're not a fish out of water, but you know what I mean. The more challenging it is, perhaps, the more entertaining it might be. So talk to me about Eve Bell and her role in this programme. You described her as a mentor.
Yeah, so she is the mentor on the gig. Every person on the gig band has a mentor, and Eve Bell is mine. She is from Donegal, so... she is an amazing singer-songwriter. She's just so cool. I'm so happy that I can be like working with her. She's there to help us. Like, she was there when we were picking the venues and stuff. And even when about the gig and about our set list, we were talking about maybe having an acoustic set in the middle, kind of like solo by myself with my guitar. So we're doing that as well. So she's there to help me with stuff that I wouldn't think of.
Yeah, and this is about you, right, and your journey as well. But obviously, it's great to see a spotlight on the Irish music scene generally. What goes into creating a gig and the effort that goes into it? You know, I'm not sure if we've seen that much of it locally.
No.
I would say locally, I mean nationally. But you know what I mean? I think it's actually will serve a good purpose in that regard too.
Yeah, because I think most people, they will go on and they probably be like, oh my God, it's a big act, we'll go to that, because they kind of know it and they know like, oh, this is very good. But I think with new music and especially young people, I feel like they're more, I don't know, not like they're not very sure. They're like, oh, I don't know, is it going to be just all pub songs or something like that? So I think I want to bring awareness, and I want to bring like to know like we are good. There's really good bands in Donegal, especially bringing out good music.
Right. Tell me once again the format then of the gig on Friday, because this is really what it's all been leading up to, hasn't it?
So the gig is on Friday in the Social in Gweedore. It is starts at eight for the first band. We have two support acts. So the Stands from Fokara and the Notions from Dunlow and Letterkenny. And then we'll be on at about half nine. We'll be playing for an hour and a half. You can get your tickets as well for on Eventbrite.
Oh, brilliant. There's still tickets available.
Yep, there's still tickets until the day. So then we're selling out fast, guys. So
fantastic. Okay, go on to Eventbrite. Now, in terms of your set, do you have an hour and a half of your own material? Is it a mixture of covers and your own stuff?
Or? It's a mixture of covers, because I wanted people to be like able to dance and know some of the songs as well.
There's no shame in that either.
Yeah, there is.
It's good to mix it up.
Yeah, I do have a good couple of songs, so it's a good mixture, I feel.
Brilliant.
So
you're going to do something for us live now, aren't you? What are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing an original that I wrote about 2 weeks ago. It's called Ghost, and it's basically about ghosting someone, but... yeah, and how you feel.
Do you want
after
to explain what ghosting is, just for those who may not be aware?
Ghosting is when
I know, by the way, unfortunately.
Ghosting is when you are talking to someone and then they kind of stop talking to you altogether, and then you're like, oh, this person's like a ghost, it's gone.
You start wondering, what have I done?
Yes.
Didn't I do?
Yeah.
All right, this is Hannah B.
Thank you. The Ghost. See you walking down the hall. It's like you can't see me, no, not at all. You know I still have those photos on my phone. And the missed calls from many months ago. You say you'd fly me to the moon, but the asteroid came too soon. I'll hold on to your ghost. Can't let this story unfold. Said whatever, anything goes.
I'm trapped with your ghost, and I can't let you know. Ooh, no, no, oh, and I can't let you know, oh, no. Ooh, no. Caught me in a storm of doubt. Got me thinking, is this what love's about? You broke my heart and you didn't even care, leaving scars that linger, too painful to bear. You say your parents would have liked me. How could I be so naive? I hold on to your ghost. Gotta let this story unfold. You said whatever, anything goes. I'm trapped with your ghost, and I can't let you go. Can't let you go, oh no. Ooh, no. You thought our love was just a game, but I'll grow up and you'll stay the same. Now it's time for us to part. Mm-hmm. I held on to unfold. I said, whatever, anything goes. You're trapped with my ghost, and I can't let you go. Ooh, no, no, oh, and I can't let you go, oh, no.
Thank you.
Well done, Hannah. That was fantastic. And Hannah is performing in a gig this Friday. It's the culmination of, well, not the culmination, probably some stuff after it. But of course, the process of filming for a new RTE1 show broadcast this autumn. It's called On Gig More. There are still some tickets available for the gig on the 10th of May in the Social Guidor, and also the Strands from Falkara and the Notions from Dunlow Letterkenny. Have you been warned that Letterkenny is going to mention if you mention the Strand or the Notions? If there's, you know, it's right, you're right. Okay. But there's members from both.
There
Dunlow
is members from both.
Okay, good stuff. And Eventbrite, tickets still available.
Yes.
And be part of the show as well. All right, great success to you into the future.
Thank you so much.
I think it's clear now for you that this is what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, brilliant. Well, we wish you every success into the future and best luck with Friday night. We look forward to watching the show in the autumn.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's Hannah Fadjean, back with more after the break.
The 9 till noon show is brought to you in association with Remind. Prioritise your brain health with Remind supplements. Remind delivers carotenoids and omega-3 fatty acids to support your brain function. Available in pharmacies nationwide or online at remind.eu.
Testing, testing. Do you need to get your hearing tested? Test your hearing with a free sample hearing aid from Hidden Hearing. Order your free sample hearing aid today. Call 1-800-370-000 or visit hiddenhearing.ie.
Thanks again to Hannah for calling in, and she had the RTE film crew with her, so we'll see how much of the footage makes it onto the programme in the autumn. But anyway, it's there. Well done, Hannah B. All the best going forwards with your music, says a listener. And all the best wishes and lots of luck to Hannah and the Strands on Friday night from all the PCC of Falkara staff and students. Right, I'll come back to more comments on various things. Just one, actually, that came in. Greg, just wondering, where is the Cant Centre for the Glenties electoral area? It is, as it has been for quite some time now, in the Highlands Hotel there. Right, we are joined on the programme by John Clendenin, who's president of the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Good morning to you, John. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg, to you and all your listeners.
Right. Now, the annual general conference is taking place in Donegal next Tuesday, in Ballybuffet more specifically. What are the key issues facing the pub sector? I mean, I think they're kind of obvious. Unfortunately, there's a great deal of public awareness of the struggles facing your members, but it'd be good to hear you outline them for us once again.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. And I suppose just first of all, just to outline that we are looking forward to going to Jackson's Hotel in Ballybuffet next week and to acknowledge the support within the county from some of your members, Raisa Gilligan, Alice Lynch and Martin Harley, who have been working diligently over the last number of months to bring this conference to Donegal, working with our team here at head office in Dublin. And really, you know, from our perspective, there's going to be over 300 publicans from right across the country gathering in Ballybuffet, and we will make a significant contribution to the local economy over the course of the few days that while we're up there. We're supporting a family-owned hotel in the heart of the town, and hopefully we'll be able to support some of our members over the few days that we're up there as well. But look, I suppose from a pub's perspective in general, you know, generally speaking, our members would say that the trade is strong, that there is an appeal to go to the pub, particularly post-COVID. A lot of our members did, you know, invest significantly in diversifying their product offering during that period, and we have seen the benefits of that since. However, that's one side of the profit and loss sheet. On the other side, in relation to expenses, they're predominantly going in the wrong direction, and our margins are being cut on a consistent basis. We're seeing it right through from increases from suppliers to, I suppose, government policy as well, and particularly in relation to labour. We're seeing the minimum wage increase. We're seeing new legislation and policy in relation to the likes of auto enrolment and statutory sick leave. From our perspective, it is a labour-intensive sector. And whether we're operating today and an individual rings in sick from the team or not, the pints or the dinners still need to be poured. Well,
John, in relation just to the recommendations of the Low Pay Commission and what have you, I mean, to some extent, this is not your members would have to crack anyway, because we are statistically at full employment. Everywhere is struggling to get workers. So either the government legislate, or I suspect your members would have to improve conditions one way or other, if you know what I mean. Now, that doesn't mean you can't also call for the government to offer some supports in this area. But I mean, like anyone I know who's working in this area is struggling to get proper competent staff.
Look, I take your point on board. I suppose in relation to Low Pay Commission, and one of the motions that has been put forward by some of our member branches around the country is that the Low Pay Commission would be disbanded. And the argument that would be made is that they're out of touch in relation to the level of increases that they're proposing that would lie solely at the hands of business owners. As I said, we are a labour-intensive sector. A significant percentage of every euro that comes over the counter goes out on wages, and to see a minimum wage increase of 12% year on year for the next number of years is simply unsustainable. And the point would be is that it needs to be either revised, or that there would need to be government support to subsidise labour-intensive businesses like ourselves that rely so much on labour and that don't have the option. If you compare our business model, compared to an accountancy firm, you know, if the books aren't done today, they'll be done tomorrow. But unfortunately, we don't have that luxury in our sector where, you know, once the doors are opened, we need a full staff complement, whether they're sick or not, or whether they're absent, they still need to be replaced, and we need someone to be behind the counter. So,
you know,
there has
obviously
to be some sort of support in that regard.
In terms of the product that most pubs sell, you know, what have you got to say to the likes of Diageo and the others? Because, you know, they're recording amazing profits. And yet at a whim can decide to stick 15 cent on a pint or something along those lines or whatever it might be. Disregard those figures. I'm just giving examples, listeners. But, you know, like, they're squeezing you from the other end. And I don't hear an awful lot, and maybe I've just missed it, from the Vintners Federation of Ireland saying, look, without us dispensing this stuff, you don't have a business here, and maybe you need to eat into your profits a little bit instead of putting us under pressure. Because Diageo or others can make an announcement today, everyone will forget tomorrow, but when that's passed on at the bar counter in a couple of days or immediately, it's the staff that gets it in the ear.
You make a very good point, Greg, and certainly from our perspective, and we would have impressed this upon our suppliers on an ongoing basis, we would like to see a greater focus on customer value in relation to pub goers on a regular basis, and obviously us as the customer to those suppliers, and that the customer value would be prioritised over shareholder value and shareholder profits. And it's something that we are very consistent on. If you look at our habits and consumption of alcohol in this country now, the majority of people are consuming alcohol through the off-trade rather than the on-trade. And we feel that the pub, as an environment and as a venue and somewhere to actually go and have a couple of drinks, there's a lot more benefit than doing it at home, and that needs to be promoted and prioritised
and facilitated
and
facilitated too. Absolutely. John, because we've seen with previous reports from a couple of weeks ago, we're losing taxi drivers hand over fist, and it's getting to and from the pub safely is a challenge. And you know, there comes a tipping point where you go, is it worth all the effort? Do you know what I mean? The service, yeah. The atmosphere is fantastic, right? But it's just getting to and from there, particularly in more rural areas, but not exclusively. You know, from one end of Letterkenny to the other end of Letterkenny, it's too long for an awful lot of people to walk, but there's no alternatives. And clearly we can't take our cars.
Yeah, and certainly transport is a major issue for us, and we would have signed up for the Alliance for Taxi Reform and Transport Reform, where it is a major issue for us that we're trying to get addressed and want to see it as a priority. But also we can't underestimate the pub as a social hub. You know, it's an opportunity to meet neighbours, it's an opportunity to have gatherings, parties, and so on. And certainly, you know, I think there's an element of Ireland in which the pub is a key fabric or a key cornerstone of, and that's why we have expressed an application for UNESCO heritage status, cultural status, which would really put the pub on another level in relation to that recognition. You know, every tourist that comes to this country, or the vast majority of them, one of their top priorities is to visit an Irish pub. It's something completely unique. It's something that is one of our largest exports overseas, but it's never quite the same experience as than what we have on this island. And I think it's something that we certainly need to try and protect and maintain long into the future. And that's going to require support, not just from suppliers, not just from the government, but ensure that obviously in local areas that people continue to support their local pub and continue to take decision to go out. And right now, you know, we live in an era where we have social media and we have a heightened level of customer sophistication because they see so much from around the world and they have the option of travelling to all corners of the world. So, you know, right now in terms of what we offer, we're, you know, competing for the hard-earned disposable income of our patrons against gym membership, you know, subscriptions to television channels, or the holiday to the Costa del Sol. So really, it has never been more challenging in a sense. But there is, at the same time, we believe, you know, a good opportunity in terms of our trade and ensuring profitability. But as I say, we need to ensure that these issues that we've discussed throughout the course of the interview are addressed.
Going back, I don't know how long ago, it feels like a lifetime ago, but ahead of these types of conferences, there were issues on the cost of insurance, the cost of providing TV. Now, at the end of the day, you know, you're at a commercial disadvantage if you're not showing every football game, be it GEA or soccer. I mean, it's more Are they still issues, or has there been some progress in that regard, or are they just behind the more pressing issues of actually people going into the pub and the cost of doing business?
Yeah, well, I think just to be clear in relation to TV, it's a commercial decision that every member has to take for themselves. But I wouldn't like to think that there are members that are commercially disadvantaged just because they don't have TV. There's plenty of unique offerings around the country that have no TVs at all and might focus on the likes of traditional music or food or have accommodation or whatever else. So they've diversified their product into something unique. But absolutely, there are premises that have made this their niche element and are offering all sorts of sports and on the big screen. So it really depends on the pub and what avenue they decide to go down in terms of a product proposition. But certainly, you know, whether it be insurance, whether it be the cost of doing business in general, energy, labour, you know, I think what we are really looking at now, and we will be sharing a benchmarking exercise with our members in Donegal next week, is to encourage and just make all our members aware of the necessity to look at all costs as a percentage of turnover rather than just looking at them in isolation on a year-on-year basis. Mm-hmm. You know, we regardless of what business you're in, profitability is the bottom line. And we have seen our margins erode time and time again from very different angles on a consistent basis. And I suppose at this stage, we just need to ensure that, you know, on a benchmarking percentage of turnover basis, that people are managing their costs and ensuring that they remain profitable. So absolutely, you know, whether it be energy, whether it be insurance, none of these issues have gone away. They are all a challenge and something that very much we are keeping on the agenda to ensure that we're working in the best interest of our members.
Okay, John Clendenin, thank you very much indeed. He's the president of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, and that general conference is taking place in Jackson's in Ballybuffet on Tuesday the 14th of May. Right, more of your comments coming in over the course of this morning. Hi, Greg, read the Eurovision. It was never about the songs. It's several hours of criticising, but that's the fun of it. Indeed, and you see, I think what you're doing a little bit what I'm doing, because I was like watching something last night, I was going, oh, this is nonsense or whatever. But I wasn't digging so deep into it. I wasn't looking at it like, you know, well, where is the fence? Where is the offence? Where is the, oh, this is the sign of a huge cultural shift? I just watched it for what it was. Some of it's absolutely crazy, of course. But it was just to say, oh, that was shocking, or she's screaming, or he can't hit that note. And that's kind of how I watched it. But for others, it's something more deep. Ireland is the home of Halloween, says the listener, so why not send something spooky, because that is our culture. What did these people dress up as for Halloween and dress up their kids as? We all have dressed up as a witch. Doesn't make you satanic. Well, it's like turning up waving a diabolical flag or something. Same difference. Gender identity disorder is just a lifelong medical condition that requires lifelong medical treatment. The transgender flag and the movement is a political thing and has nothing to do with a song contest. But if the person... if that's what the person who's taking part in the contest is passionate about, you know, there were other people were talking about unemployment, as we heard from Henry, or talking about war, talking about peace, talking about womanhood, others talking about transgenderism. That's they're going to use their opportunity. Hi, folks. I lost my laptop at Glengesh. It happened on the morning of the 3rd of May. It's a MacBook. It's got a special cover, grey colour. MacBook is grey colour as well. This is the cover, apparently. Still offline. When anybody opens the laptop, they get a message with the number on the display, just in case if you can help with sharing the story. I think that's one we lifted from socials, or were asked to lift from socials. So we up at Glengesh. Did you find a MacBook? The owner, obviously, I think it's kind of, if it's security locked, it's useless to whoever might have found it. So if you have it and you want to get back to its owner, get in touch with us. We'll put you in touch with them. Best of luck to Hannah and all from The Notions. And that's coming in from one of the mums of The Notions. I'm sure I've had The Notions on before, if I'm not mistaken. Right. Hi, Greg. Does anyone know if tickets to the Ulster Final will be available for purchase outside clubs? I understand club tickets are limited and they're for members only. Just wondering if there'll be any available from Super Value. Just can't find the answer online, Kay. I don't think so. Okay. They're like hen's teeth. We're back at that sort of period of time. There's a lot of issues within clubs. I was speaking to some people waiting on tickets from a number of clubs across the county, and they're oversubscribed in terms of the tickets that the clubs are being allocated quite considerably. And also, too, there are there's issues, too, with people who are members of clubs getting tickets and a cut-off day to get a ticket, if you remember, and people who bought membership after that cut-off and weren't aware, and now they're upset they're not getting tickets. It's just the big rush now for the big day. We spoke to someone yesterday who declined a council house because four of the family members had severe disability and the house wasn't suitable for them. They're very anxious that the refusal of the property is going to disadvantage them in being offered another property into the future. And we put it out to our listeners to get their views. This listener said, you can decline an offer for a council house twice, but that's it. You're entitled to decline an offer on two occasions. You are then knocked off the list. You can reapply after that, but it puts you to the bottom of the list. A caller wants to know, what are they going to do about casinos? They're open all hours of the night for people to gamble. They're open to adults, though. That comes up from time to time, and it's a toughie. It's a toughie because people want to be able to do what they want to do, but I know there are then those that are close to people who have a gambling problem and they wouldn't want these facilities nearby. It's a toughie. But any views on that, let us know. 086 60 25,000.